Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 26th, 2022. Tuesday. Absolutely beautiful day. The weather is starting to change. Can feel it in the air. Woke up this morning. Wore pants. I should have wore shorts, but whatever. If that's my biggest problem today, oh well. How's everybody doing? Back to work today. Off yesterday. Had a great weekend. Got to spend some time with my in-laws celebrating their anniversary, which was fantastic. Got to go out to dinner. It was a good day, good weekend. Back to work this week. Not much has changed, just grinding through it. I think, just blessed that I can get up and go to work, right? Show up. And for such a long period of my life, I was not capable of doing that. Or didn't want to do that. Had no interest in doing that. I was looking at these. A while back, I would maybe read some of these promises. And number 7 of the 12 promises is very interesting. It says, and I love the promises I love how AA or any program like that, it never tells you. Like, it's never said, this is what's going to happen. It's like, it's a promise. Listen, if you work this out, I promise this is going to happen. It doesn't say, listen, unless you do this, this will never happen. It's a nice way of giving you suggestions on things to work on, but put it in a nice way. So it's not like, hey, man, you're a selfish asshole. You need to worry about other people and less about yourself. No, it doesn't say that. It says, the promise number 7 says, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I agree. That promise for me has sort of come true, right? I don't do any of this stuff perfectly. I don't think anybody does. I think it's a way of shining a little light on something and put it in a way that isn't going to send us off the rails like a lot of stuff does, it seems. You can't say, hey, man, you're selfish. Feelings get hurt. Attitudes pop up. But if you say, listen, if you work at this, I promise you that you will stop worrying about yourself so much and think about others. And I feel I recognize that change in myself. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's just natural maturity that starts to happen. I can say that in my 54 years of life, I can see many changes that have taken place. And maybe this is just the natural progression of life. It's just eventually you just start thinking of others. I mean, how much can we succeed at, I guess? How much do I need to do in this life? How much money do I need to make? How much sacrifice from my family and friends do I need to do to achieve this goal that I've made up in my head, which is somehow be rich and, whatever comes with that. I wouldn't know because I've never been rich. But, there's this at some point, I feel like I'm going through it now. And I do believe that this program has at least shined a light on how selfish that I was. And I'm still a little selfish. We're supposed to go I don't know how many of you out there have kids that are getting ready to go to college or, you know, at least coming to the end of high school. But I have a son that's getting ready to, and he wants to go to a very big, expensive school. And, you know, between you and me, I don't have the money to pay for a big, expensive school. There's some other programs that we have here that I think that we could take a look at. But, you know, when your kid's got something on his mind, unfortunately, it's hard to shake it. He is only in the 11th grade. He'll be a senior next year. But, you know, this is that time of year where everybody's taking their kids to go to these colleges. And we're supposed to go tomorrow. I wanted to go. I'm not sure what the... I mean, I just, you know, I want to go, right? I mean, you want to support your child and see him do great things. But I really don't have... I have a lot of shit to do tomorrow. And, you know, between you and me, I could probably get out of it. But I don't know if I really feel like spending 7 hours in a car going to look at a school that I'm not sure that we can even afford. And so I guess the point of that is that I'm still selfish. You know, I still want what I want. But I try to figure out how to balance it. And when I am stuck in that place where I'm really focusing on me, and I could tell when it's about me when I start to get upset when it doesn't go my way, right? I mean, I feel pretty normal, but when things like this get thrown into my schedule and it's affecting, you know, my day, you know, I start to have sort of a little bit of a tantrum, so to speak, in my head. And so then I recognize, okay, this is a self thing. And, you know, as a father of three children and a husband and a small business owner, I definitely give. You know, you can't do all those things and not be someone that gives, because they're all giving kind of positions. You have to definitely, you know, taking care of your kids. You know, I've said, listen, if you want to try to live that life that you had prior to kids and have kids, it's going to be a miserable existence. At some point, you know, kids beat you down. You know, I was watching TV last night, and there was a commercial, and, you know, I'm sure it's obviously not a real situation, but, you know, a girl or a young woman with her newborn, or not even a newborn, probably like a two-year-old, and, you know, tons of toys and dress up and all this stuff. But eventually, once you get past, you know, the early years, you know, then it becomes about raising your kids and, you know, being tough and picking and choosing what you'll allow and how much are they going to hate me and how much do they love me. And it puts self through the grinder. And, you know, some people fight it. I think that's one of the challenges with having kids too early. You know, I think a lot of people like to have kids early and get them out of the way so they can retire and not have to worry about their kids. I personally am just so grateful for my children. You know, as a 54-year-old man, you know, my kids are what really gets me up in the day. I mean, I get up, I go to work, but, you know, I was thinking about, you know, this yesterday when we, you know, my son had soccer practice. You know, we're out at the soccer fields. This is what we do, right? This is, you know, as a family, we go support our kids. And, you know, you can't have this life and still try to live the life which I lived in my early 20s, which was like going to bars and hanging out and, you know, tailgating and going to concerts and drinking up and just all this great stuff that we used to do. You can't have that life and still be showing up for this life. And it is a, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday and I go, you know, my buddy Matt used to always say, you know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. And I know I've said that before on this podcast, but and I was sharing this with somebody and the person said, you know, that's a great reminder. You know, that is a great reminder because, you know, raising kids and it just seems overwhelming, you know, and even today it's even worse. I mean, I don't know about you, but gas, you know, gas was coming down, you know, we were starting to feel maybe a little bit back to normal, but geez, in the last 2 days, I think gas up to $4.15 here. I mean, as a person raising a family, these new expenses start showing up, and you're like, "Oh my God, how are we going to do this?" you know, we buy groceries. It's a ton of money. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And, you know, that's that insecurity. That's that selfish side of me thinking, well, you know, if you got all these kids, they're going to be taken away from what I want. And, but as a person where I'm at today, I don't think like that. Thank God. You know, I'm super grateful. I appreciate the struggle of raising kids. I when, you know, when we're all together eating dinner like we were the other night, it's just great. You know, my son had his girlfriend over for dinner. My dad was over for dinner. Everybody was eating. You know, we've changed how we, you know, maybe would have gone out in the past, but now, you know, we cook more. But it's just, but I have to remind myself, hey, man, you're not drinking, right? You're not doing drugs. I've never paid for a hooker, so, but I get the point, right? But there are, you know, I feel bad. You know, there's a whole world out there that didn't exist when I was in my 20s, which is the internet. You know, that internet will get your ass in some serious trouble, and there are people that are struggling, and I see, you know, this whole, like, wave of sin, right? And like I said, I'm not religious, but it's like this, you know, this gluttony, you know, where now we're seeing a lot of gambling apps. We're seeing food that just is brought right to your door. You don't even have to go anywhere and get it. We saw a commercial for some app that you can have alcohol just delivered right to your house. I'm not sure how they're working through that. I remember when I was a kid, there would be no chance of having alcohol delivered. You couldn't leave a store with alcohol. You couldn't be in a restaurant and leave the restaurant with alcohol. And now, you know, you can, during the pandemic, you could stop and buy food at restaurants and they would send alcohol out with you. We keep making exceptions so that people can still have success in some of these businesses. But I feel like it's getting, where are we going? Gambling apps? I mean, my God, I feel bad for somebody that's just starting to try to mess around with gambling through an app. It doesn't sound like it's going to work out well. And I mean, where are we headed? It's scary. And, you know, so I'm just so grateful today that I don't have, at least for today, right, that I'm not struggling and that I can remind myself, listen, hey, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, more than likely this should all work out. Slow down your mind. Fill the unknown spaces with truth and light. If you can find the time, time seems so slow. You know, I do, it does it, it happens a lot, you know, and I've shared, I've read, I've been told by others, you know, you got to stay in the moment. And that's one of the things, I don't care how sober I am or how long it's been since I've had a drink, I still struggle with staying in the moment. And I love to venture out into the future and make a lot of trouble. And I love to, you know, reminisce through the past, kick around the old burn can. And think about that kind of stuff. It seems like the last couple of weeks I've been reminiscing quite a bit about the past. and my life. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and somehow we got into the conversation of bars and how, you know, I love bars. And he's like, I love bars, you know, I love the darkness. And I was like, damn, dude, this sounds awesome, right? And then I'm reminiscing about, you know, going to the bars in San Diego and just no real need for me to go there. I don't reminisce to a point where it sounds good because it doesn't. But it's a waste of time. You know, it's a waste of time. You know, right here in the present, I can figure it out. I'm safe. You know, I have no financial worries. I have no worries about business. I don't have any worries about relationship because I know right here, right now, I'm safe. I'm good. You know, I woke up this morning, had a cup of coffee, chatted with the family, took a shower, and I came here. I mean, what more could go wrong? And, but, you know, we still love to do that. I'm not sure if it's self trying to create drama, if it's self, you know, trying to look good. I'm not sure what it's about, but I know it doesn't serve me well. And it's something that I continue to work on. You know, lately I've been feeling like it. At 54, I think about dying more than I ever have, which is bizarre. You know, thinking about the end, what is the end like? What is my end going to look like? You know, we spend so much time wanting to be fit and in shape and grow old. And, you know, I've shared about my buddy who wants to live to 120. You know, I don't know what that's about. But I think about the end. And, you know, to think about the end when I was young would be tragic. Like, oh, my God, I couldn't imagine. But, you know, as I'm whittling through the end here, and I am only 54. It's not like I'm dying today. But it definitely, you know, it feels realistic that there will be an end. And at this point, I mean, shit, you know, hopefully I'm healthy. But, you know, I have several friends that were younger than me that have gone for whatever reasons. Most of them was because of drugs and alcohol. But, hey, I read in the paper, you know, 54-year-old guy drops dead or this guy does this or, you know, it starts to become realistic. And it's kind of heavy, right? And the other thing is like growing old. You know, I see, you know, my wife's grandmother is 99. You know, she is not happy about that. You know, as a young person, I wonder if self's like, listen, let's try to break the record, right? Let's go to 110 or something. But when self's been beat down over the years and all that's left is just, you know, humility, you know, you're like, what's the point, right? How much longer do I need to live? And are we a burden and all this other stuff? You know, my father's getting old and I think about what that's going to look like for him. And, you know, in fact, I was telling my wife yesterday, I go, I wonder what that's going to look like when we, you know, either have to move him in or whatever it is that we have to do. I don't know. Let's see if maybe we can read a... I'm so annoyed by these freaking phones. What the fuck is this? I was going to see if I could read a... Daily Reflections, and maybe we'll look at that for a second and then move on. I should read this in the morning or before I do a podcast. Happiness is not the point. Okay. I don't think happiness or... excuse me. All right, sorry. I don't think happiness or unhappiness is the point. How do we meet the problem we face? How do we best learn from them and transmit what we have learned to others, if they would receive the knowledge, as Bill sees it, page 306. In my search to be happy, I changed jobs, married and divorced, took geographical cures, and ran myself into debt, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. In AA, I'm learning to grow up. Instead of demanding that people, places, and things make me happy, I can ask God for self-acceptance when a problem overwhelms me. I can ask God for self-acceptance, which means basically I give up, right? Acceptance, surrender, it's all that humble stuff. 12 steps will help me grow through the pain. The knowledge I gain can be a gift to others who suffer with the same problem. As Bill said, when pain comes, we are expected to learn from it willingly and help others to learn. When happiness comes, we accept it as a gift and thank God for it. Yeah, you know, I've, as Bill sees it, page 306. It's interesting. You know, I, a lot of my life has been kind of pushed in directions because of pain. You know, like I do what I want and then pain shows up and then changes my direction. And, you know, that's, it's a weird kind of situation when that is how you kind of basically learn through life is crash into pain and then go the other direction. And so one of the weird things or one of the interesting things for me when I got sober was happiness and praise and doing good. I was very, I'd become very used to, you know, being bad or doing bad or failing or falling short or, you know, I spent a lot of my life doing things that I didn't really want to do. I just didn't have a lot of options. And when I got sober, you know, I started to feel good. And, you know, that can be, for me, just as dangerous. You know, I've said before, tell me I did a good job, I want to be president of the company. Tell me I did a bad job, and I want to jump off a bridge. You know, I'm that extreme. But I didn't spend a lot of my early life getting a lot of praise. You know, I mean, I got my fair share. I mean, I was just a normal kid. But, you know, I never did very well in school. I just really struggled. And, you know, I was always in some sort of trouble. Which is weird. I'm starting to believe that it might have just been me. I'm not sure every kid goes through that. I'm watching my kids today, and they're very different than I was. But whatever. It was, you know, that's how my life was, and it was a struggle. But then, freaking allergies, man. Dying here. Pollen is everywhere. But I was going to say, you know, I just had grown to being a bad kid. And so when I got sober, you know, people talking to me and telling me I was doing great. I mean, even if just to show up, you know, oh, my God, welcome back. You know, good to see you, you know, or, you know, celebrating small anniversaries. I think that that's one of the cool things about programs is like, you know, you get that chip on the first day. You never have to do this again, right? You never have to take one of these white chips again. Let's do it one time and never again. And then I think you get a red chip for 90 days, which is 3 months. And, you know, that's good because about 3 months you're starting to get like, or I know I was starting to, you know, get shifty, right? Starting to feel better, starting to feel like I'm not dragging around concrete shoes anymore, starting to feel like, you know, because up until that point, my disease or my addiction had pretty much determined what I was going to be doing. And in the job I was in, because that, you know, not many people would want that job. It's a good, fun job, but it was, you know, it's a lot of hard work. You know, it's a job for people like me that were kind of struggling along. And I remember when I, you know, one of the first things I started thinking about was like, listen, I could probably get a different job, right? I could probably get a better job. And, but that, you know, that's what happens when a guy like me lives in the shit so long. You come out and you think you're, you know, invincible. And I wasn't. I just wasn't a fuck-up at the moment. And it started to feel good. And I'm like, what else can I do? What can I do better? And I think that's why the program says, listen, don't do anything extreme in the first year. Like, don't get married. Probably don't change jobs. You know, all the big things that self loves, you know. Take it easy. Let's be humble, which means don't do anything. Just go to meetings, do whatever you're doing, go to meetings, get some time, and start to feel the changes that start to happen. And I know with me, but it's so funny because I look back, I didn't recognize any of it. It's been years of sobriety before I started to realize, you know, this shift from sobriety to serenity. You know, I went back and listened to some of these early podcasts and, you know, I could hear myself kind of quietly figuring it out. which is bizarre because, you know, I've been sober for a long time. And but to feel this real shift from starting to understand how much self runs my life and how much humility is missing, you know, and starting to understand the word serenity. You know, I'd heard the word thousands of times, but I never started to understand what it mean, to understand what it meant within really just within the last few years. You know, I got 13 years sobriety. I probably got 3 years of serenity. And the problem with serenity is you can flash in and out of serenity. You're either sober or you're not. You definitely have to have sobriety to get serenity. But you don't need serenity to be sober, which is, I guess, good and bad, depending on, you know, if your family's had it with your ass. Anyway, that's good for me today. I appreciate you letting me share. I'm trying to figure out my way in this podcast. And, you know, this is me trying to figure it out. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye.
Looking